Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you to our service today. If this is the first time you're joining us here on Sunday Online, we would like to welcome you to our service today and invite you to join us every Sunday as we preach a weekly message. Today, all I want to say is, He is risen. And that's so, so wonderful that our Savior has risen. Let us open in prayer. Father, we want to worship you. We want to thank you that you so loved us that you sent your own Son to die in our place on a cross called Calvary so that we can have eternal life. And we want to worship you, Jesus, that you came, you died, and you rose again. You are alive and you are living in our hearts. And I pray that this reality will come unto everyone watching this meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in our midst. We ask you to speak to us and to anoint us afresh in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, it's a great day today that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. My God is alive. I'm so excited this morning. You know, every time on Easter Sunday, I always am so excited because that is the day that my Savior rose. You know, today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I do not know if you realize this, but this means that Jesus is not dead. Let me explain the significance of this. You know, it's a fact that Jesus has risen from the dead, and it's a historical fact. In fact, you can go to Jesus' grave right now, his tomb, right now in Jerusalem, and I have good news for you. It is empty. There is not even a bone fragment in there. It is totally empty. Because why? Because our Savior is alive, and he has risen, and he's well. But you can name any god that people serve on this earth. You name them. I'm not going to name the names of their god. But you can name any god that people are worshiping at this moment, some major religions that people are worshiping, and that god is dead. You know, I can take you to their graves. We could maybe examine it and find bone fragments and DNA and different parts that might still exist. But they are in their grave. Why? Because they are dead. And Jesus Christ is alive. And therefore, those people who serve such gods are serving a dead God. Remember, this is a small letter G God. This God does not have eternal life. Remember, I said before, there are four major things that make God God and make him different from all other small letter G gods. First of all, he lives forever. Secondly, his omnipresence, he's everywhere at the same time. Secondly, his omniscience, he knows everything about everything. Second thing, his omnipotence, he's all powerful, even more powerful than death, that he could raise Jesus from the dead, even though he was dead, he could become alive. But all these other gods, I'm sorry, they are in a tomb, they are in a grave, they are buried under some rocks or some parts of the earth. But they are dead. Only the Christian God is alive because his tomb and his tomb alone is empty. And you can go to it right now, as I said, in Jerusalem, and you can see that our Savior has risen. Jesus Christ was crucified, for sure. He was crucified. It's a known fact. Yes, he died physically. He physically died. He didn't go into a coma or something like some people trying to say. He was physically dead. And they even embalmed his body and even wrapped him up in the cloths his burial cloths. And they even sealed the grave. But yet, he rose and he was seen by more than 500 of his close followers, friends, family, and disciples. And any one of them could have attested to him not being alive. And he ate with them, and he drank with them, and he spoke to them, and he interacted with them for 40 days. And then before their very eyes, Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. And just under 40 days now, we will celebrate the ascension of Jesus. when he ascended into heaven. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being the very nature of God, did not consider himself equally with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Remember, Jesus is God. Rather, he, Jesus, made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He became man. He became Emmanuel, God with us. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. So as a man, he even died. Even death on a cross. In other words, a terrible death. Therefore, God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen, amen, amen. You see, you either accept Jesus as your personal Savior now and acknowledge him as Lord, or one day under duress, you'll have to bow your knee and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ, knowing that he was God, chose to submit not to his own plan, but to God's plan for mankind. And he came to this earth to live as a man with all the shortcomings. Remember, he had to go to the bathroom, he had to eat, he cried, he had emotions. He was tempted like we are, but yet he remained without sin. And he had all the limitations. He couldn't be everywhere at the same time. He had to have all the limitations you and I have. And even facing temptation, all the daily temptations, but yet he was without sin. And then he took on all the sin of mankind on his shoulders and died on a cross, a horrible death, naked. Now the pictures we see of Jesus obviously are for children to see as well. And so Jesus is covered, but Jesus was naked on the cross. And therefore he paid the full price by shedding his blood and dying on that cross for all mankind. And because he was willing to submit to God's plan and to become the servant of man and to submit, he could have been king. You know, he could have called on 10,000 angels at the cross and he would have been rescued off the cross. He could have said to God, no, God, I've had enough. But what did he say in Gethsemane? Lord, not my will, but your will. And because he submitted even unto death, God gave him a name that is above every other name. Please notice that Jesus did not die. I did say it myself. He did not die. The Bible says he gave up his spirit. And then obviously he died. But death didn't take Jesus. He gave up his spirit and died. Matthew 27 verse 15. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he, Jesus, gave up his spirit. And when we choose God's will, and we choose that Jesus paid the full price for us, what we are basically doing is we are receiving that Jesus paid that price on our behalf and reconciled us to God. When Jesus died on that cross of Calvary, when he breathed his last, he made a way for man to be reconciled to God. And what was that? The sin of Adam was causing man to be separated from God. And Jesus, who was the seed of the woman that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, Genesis 3:15, he did destroy the serpent, but it did cost him his life. But wonder against wonder and power of all power, God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. And that's what we celebrate today. And so God has given him a name which is above every other name. Don't you find it funny that when you watch movies and TV programs, they don't say, oh, some other God's name. They're always swearing, using God's name in vain and using Jesus' name in vain. They don't swear on the other countless gods we have in the world. Have you ever wondered why? Because our God and Jesus is alive. They're trying to offend him. Whereas the other gods are dead. Doesn't matter if you swear at them, they don't know. Just his followers get all uptight and get upset, but they can do nothing. Those gods are dead. But Jesus obviously is alive, and so that's why the people will swear and use the name of the Lord in vain, because God is alive. And when Jesus did this, when he died on that cross, and he gave his life, and he paid that price, as I said before, God then gave Jesus a name that is above all names. Did you know that Jesus actually gave you that name? That at the name of Jesus, every demon, every devil, every sickness, every disease, every single thing has to bow at the name of Jesus. Do you know that Jesus gave us power in his name? In Matthew 18:18, he says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Where two or three people are gathered in my name, he, Jesus, is there. And so we have a name that's more powerful than any other name, the name of Jesus. So his submission gave us access to God. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, this is the good news. When Jesus died, he opened a door for us, or a way for us, according to John 14:6. Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. When Jesus died, he made a way to God for us to go through. Jesus did this for you and me and all mankind. What amazes me is that if I was the only sinner, or you were the only sinner, Jesus would have still gone through everything to save me. That just blows my mind. Now, I hope it blows your mind as well. The Bible clearly says that while we did not know Jesus, and he died like 2,000 years ago and rose 2,000 years ago, while we didn't even know him, long before we were born, Jesus died for us. While we didn't know God, God let his Son die for us. Romans 5:6-11 says, you see, at the right time, when we were still powerless, what? Powerless from our sin. Christ died for the ungodly. I was ungodly, so were you. Jesus died for us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, some people might possibly die. But God demonstrated his own love for us, for you and for me, that while we were still sinners, while we were still caught up in our sin, Christ died for us 2,000 years ago. Before we even knew Jesus, Jesus died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more will we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Now, not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You know, if you go and read 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, you'll see that God first reconciled the world through Jesus, and then he reconciles us, you and me, through Jesus to him, and then he wants you and me to reconcile the world through Jesus to those people. So not only did Jesus die for us, but he justified us. Do you know what justification means? It means that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he paid the full price for our sin and made it as just as if you and I have never, ever sinned. That's amazing. Now you might say, Pastor, but I still sin every day. And that's true. I do too. But the Bible says we need to go and confess our sins, and we need to repent, and we need to come to Jesus. But our sins are covered. Because you see, when you get born again, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you die one day, and when you stand before God, they're not going to ask, were you a good person? How much money did you give to the poor? What did you achieve in life? How many millions did you have in the bank? No. They're just going to open up the books and say, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And if it's there, you go to heaven. If it's not, then you didn't accept Jesus. And you will be punished for your sin. Now, it's good news that we're not going to receive that punishment, because Jesus Christ was punished for us at that cross. But we need to accept it. If we don't accept the death and resurrection and the full payment of our sins, we cannot be saved. And I cannot do it for you. You have to do it yourself. Your wife can't do it. Your husband can't do it. Your children can't do it. You have to go on your knees. And you have to say, Jesus, I receive you as my personal Savior. I receive your death and your resurrection as a payment, a full payment for my sins. And so I receive you as my Savior. And when we do this, we are justified. We are freed from our sin. We are freely pardoned from our sins. And God's wrath has been appeased. God is not mad at you anymore. And we become reconciled to God because our sin has been removed by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. But it's done in faith. You and I have to believe it and have to act on it in faith. No one can do it for you. Only you can do it. No amount of attending church, no amount of money you can give, even if you give your life. You cannot reconcile yourself to God because our sin debt is just too great. But Jesus came to this earth to pay that price. And as John 14 verse 6 says, that Jesus is the only way to God. That's the only way we can get to God. We have to come through Jesus. So as I close today, this is part of the week we've just gone through, known as the Passion Week. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, when everyone wanted to crown Jesus as Messiah, or they recognized him as Messiah and wanted to crown him as King. Then on the Monday, Jesus goes into the temple and he clears out all the money changers and all the things that are happening there. And then on the Tuesday, he goes and eats with a Pharisee or a friend, and a lady comes there with an alabaster jar, and she breaks it on his feet and anoints his feet and washes his feet with her tears. And then on the Wednesday, Judas goes to the Pharisees and finds out how much they will give him to deny, I can't remember. Even when I was doing my notes, I forgot the word. What is it? And then we celebrate. Jesus celebrated the Passover on Wednesday. And they ate it, and he went to Gethsemane, and he was arrested and tried before Pontius Pilate. And on Thursday, he was sentenced to death on a cross. And then later that morning, he was marched out down the Via Della Rosa to the cross, to Golgotha, to be crucified on a cross. And he died, and he was dead the whole of Thursday night. The whole of Friday night, the whole of Saturday night, and very early on Sunday morning, Jesus Christ rose again. What a week we just celebrated. What an amazing change for the eternal destiny of mankind. You know, as I close, I just want to read you two passages of scripture. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus, his son, to deal with sin once and for all time. It says in John 3:16, but we're going to read up to verse 18. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves you, and he loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for you on the cross. But you have to believe in him and receive him. It says verse 17, for God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. He didn't come to condemn the world. It was already condemned in Eden. Didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So he came to make a possibility, a way for man to be saved from the destruction of this world and the destruction of their body. Verse 18, whoever believes in him, if you believe in Jesus as your personal Savior and you receive him, whoever believes in him, is not condemned. Condemned to where? Condemned to hell or to eternal separation from God. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, and they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see, the only way to go to heaven is to believe in Jesus and to believe that he died for you. not for anyone else, for you. And if you don't do that and you die, sadly, you will spend a time or your life, the rest of your being, in a place called hell, a place of suffering, a place of punishment, where you're going to pay the price for your sin. So either you accept Jesus' payment or you pay. It's the only choices you've got. Romans 3, verse 23, we all know this. For all have sinned, we all have sinned, and fall short of the glory of God. So we all fall to sin. We all are sinners and we fall short of the sin, the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says that the payment for a life of sin is death. But the free gift of God, which is Jesus, gives us eternal life. Verse 24. And all are justified, just as if they not haven't sinned, freely by his grace. What grace? Through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. You see, we need to be redeemed by Jesus. Otherwise, we will not be able to deal with our sin. Verse 25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice for atonement. In other words, a continual sacrifice through the shedding of his blood. He didn't put the blood of goats and lambs there. He put Jesus' own blood on the altar to be received by faith. You see, we can't do it by any other way but by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he has left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. We're all sinners. We all fall short of God's standard. But through Jesus we are justified, made as if we've never sinned, and redeemed from our debt of sin through the sacrifice of Jesus and through his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. We need to receive it by faith. His word and his precious blood, and the precious blood of Jesus Christ, is the thing that has redeemed us from the penalty of sin and eternal death. Let us pray. Father, I just pray for each and every person watching this message. Holy Spirit, I pray that you convict them right now. Those of us, Lord, who are not ready to meet you face to face, those of us who are still caught up in our sin, I just pray for them right now in Jesus' name. And if that's you and you want to take this opportunity to receive Jesus, just pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I understand that you died for my sin on the cross of Calvary. And I receive you as my Savior. I believe with all my heart that you paid the price for my sin, and I receive you as my Savior, as my redemption. And won't you justify me, to just as if make me just as if I've never sinned, in Jesus' name. I receive you, I repent of my sin, and I make you Lord of my life in faith in you, dear Lord Jesus, and in the Word of God. I believe that I am your child. I believe that I'm born again. And I believe that I am going to heaven. Amen. And Father, I just pray for each and every person that's made that commitment. Pray your blessing over them. Pray your blessing over us in this week, Lord. Just protect us, be with us, keep us from all fears, all evils, all things that are not from you, Lord. We pray your blessing, your anointing, your favor, your healing power over each and every one of us. Until we meet again, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a lovely week. If you made that pre-commitment, please send me an email at pastor@xchupi.com, and I will send you my new beginner's booklet, so you can know what you've done and what the next steps are. If you don't want to send me an email, you can go to my website, www.xchupi.com, and you can see under the media there, you'll see the new beginner's booklet. God bless you all. Have a lovely week and happy Easter. Happy Passover. Our God reigns. Amen. Bye-bye.